Good evening, everyone. I'm broadcasting live May 25th. Today's quote is somewhat suspect. Looks like he's loosely translated something problematic. This is the word love here. As far as I can see, the only instance of this quote doesn't use the word love. He uses the word patisantara, which for some reason I think we've already had as a quote. I think at some point we had this list of six. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure though. Garawa. We talked about Garawa. Garawa. Right? This time it has the backstory of an angel coming to see the Buddha, telling him about these six things, and the Buddha affirming that it's indeed true. Garawata. Six kinds of respect. Garawata comes from the root. The root would be gar, I guess. Gur, I don't know, gar, I guess. It's where the word guru comes from, garu. In Pali, garu means heavy, or someone who is important. A teacher, garu is a teacher. A guru. But garu also means heavy. So it means taking something seriously. Garawata means taking something seriously. And there are six things that, according to this angel and then according to the Buddha, are important for not falling away, for not declining. You know, we want to progress in this life. We want to succeed. We're talking specifically about spirituality, about Buddhism and the Buddha's teaching. What is it that leads to success? What is it that leads to progress? Now, there are these six things. But number six, I don't think, is as translated. So let's go through them. Sattu Garawata. Sattu means the teacher. So the Buddha, having respect for and taking the Buddha seriously. So people traditionally will take the Buddha so seriously that they make images of the Buddha and they bow down to them and they give offerings. That's how seriously they take the Buddha. Some might argue a little too seriously, but the most important is appreciating the Buddha and respecting his enlightenment, respecting his state, his perfection, his greatness. It's important because it keeps you in line with his teachings, you know. It's easy for the mind to get lost, for the mind to lose its way. And if you don't take the Buddha seriously, your mind, it's very easily diverted and caught up by other things. Number two, of course, Dhamma Garawata. Number three, Sangha Garawata. So the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. We should take them seriously. The Dhamma of the Buddha refers to his teachings. We should take them seriously. We should not look lightly upon the meditation practice and the teachings. We should appreciate them. Some people will be so appreciative that they don't put books about the Buddha's teaching on the floor. They'll keep them up high and treat the books with respect. And so some might argue that that's not really necessary, and you, sure. But it's all about the sense of respect. And so treating the Buddha and the Dhamma in this way is useful for cultivating wholesome mind states, respectful mind states, mind states that are conducive to practice, conducive to progress. The most important is that we respect the teaching. We appreciate how important it is. Sometimes studying the Buddha's teaching is good because it, not just for the knowledge it gives you, but because it gives you a deep respect, so that you don't have to doubt what little you know. If you know a lot more, it can help to solidify your practice and make it clear the bigger picture. Why are we doing this? Why is it important to let go? Why is it wrong to cling? Sometimes studying is useful, but we could also talk about appreciation of meditation practice, taking that seriously. Here I think it just means the teachings, the doctrines. Number three, the Sangha, so appreciating teachers, appreciating enlightened beings, even if they don't teach, just appreciating their enlightenment. You know, appreciating, looking up to someone who you'd like to emulate. When you take them seriously, it becomes easy to emulate them, to follow their lead, to follow the way that they've gone, follow in their footsteps as well. Number four, Sikha Garavata, the training, taking the training seriously. Training in morality, taking the precepts seriously, training in concentration, so taking meditation seriously, and training in wisdom, so taking wisdom seriously, the practice of insight meditation. So it shouldn't be a hobby, this should be something that changes your life. It should be a part of your life. Every day meditating, every day being mindful, whatever you do. When you eat, eat mindfully. When you brush your teeth, brush your teeth mindfully. When you use the toilet mindfully. When you lie down to sleep, lie down to sleep mindfully. Take it seriously. Number five, appamada garvata. So this is heedfulness. Appamada is a trademark teaching of the Buddha. It's very core teaching. It means being mindful, being vigilant, being constantly aware, consistent, continuously. If you don't have continuity in your practice, it's like two steps forward, one step back. It slows you down, it can even take you backwards if you're not consistent enough. You should try to be vigilant, heedful. Don't lose sight of what's right, what's good, what's positive. Don't get lost in negative. And number six, patisantara. Patisantara, this problematic word which doesn't mean love. Patisang. Pati means specifically, sang means together. They don't really have meaning, but tara, stir, comes from, it says literally spreading before. And patisantara is understood to refer to hospitality. There's two kinds of patisantara, amisa patisantara and dhamma patisantara. So they don't have anything to do with love, not directly. A goodwill, perhaps, friendliness. But hospitality is probably the best. So when you put things out for strangers, one is when people come to visit you, being hospitable. It's curious that the Buddha uses this, but it is what keeps the religion alive, keeps Buddhism alive. Goodwill, so goodwill to others. Sharing with others, receiving others hospitably, amisapadisantares, with gifts, with physical things. When people need food, giving them food. When people need shelter, giving them shelter, this kind of thing. Dhammapatisantara means offering the Dhamma, offering teachings, sharing the teachings with others. You don't have to be a teacher to share teachings. You can explain or even demonstrate meditation practice just as goodwill, as a gift. As a help for others. So taking that seriously, is all of these are said to be important. The Buddha says, abhambo parihanaya nibbana seva santike. They are not capable of fading away. They are close, they are in the presence of Nibbana. Nibbana seva santike. Things that lead you to Nibbana. So Buddhism sort of has a rap for being fairly dour and serious. And here's more about taking things seriously. But just because you take something seriously doesn't mean you have to be dour or serious. It means you have to be conscientious, I think is a very Buddhist word. Conscientious. Don't be lazy, don't be negligent, don't be flippant or lackadaisical. Be conscientious, mindful. These are good words. So, again, I think we've already had this quote somehow. It's very familiar. I mean, I know this quote from my own studies, but it seems like we've gone through this recently. Anyway. So that's the Dhamma for this evening. We have questions. People have questions about our site. The site's going to undergo a big change, so don't worry too much about it yet. Once we change over to the new format, we've got an IT team diligently working on the site. So hopefully that'll all come together this summer. No questions today? No, we don't have to have lots of questions every day. There will be questions. There have been questions. There will be more questions. When the Lord said, Kusalasa upasampada, was he referring to all good deeds? Or the good deeds associated with the Noble Eightfold Path? I mean, I don't know the mind of the Buddha. I would venture that he meant all wholesome deeds, because Buddhas do teach that which is not directly related to the Eightfold Noble Path. Not directly. Of course, you could argue that all good deeds are supportive of the Eightfold Noble Path. So I would say it's more in that case. Buddhas teach things that are supportive, but not directly a part of the Eightfold Noble Path. I mean, charity is not in the Eightfold Noble Path, but it is supportive of the Eightfold Noble Path. And Buddhas do teach it. So, on the other hand, the word upasampada, you could argue, means referring to the, it's not just saying perform wholesome deeds, it's saying get to the pinnacle, get to the highest, become complete, become full. And so there it's actually specifically referring to the Eightfold Noble Path, I would say. Which difficult questions you give me. Good, keep me on my toes. And you talk about restraint. How much and in what way should one restrain oneself? There's a good quote of the Buddha that I can't remember exactly where it is. Mahasi Sayadaw talks about it. Restraint, sanyata is restraint, or it's one word. Sanyama means restraint. Restraint. You restrain the hands, restraint of the feet, restraint of the body, of the self. All kinds of restraint are good. So there are different kinds. He talks about the five things, the five sorts of restraint. Restraint through morality, restraint through effort, restraint through knowledge, restraint through mindfulness, and restraint through wisdom. I think those are the five. So there are different kinds of restraint. Now, the word restraint kind of implies forcing, right? But that's not really it. If you think of these five, you restrain yourself in different ways, with morality, and that's kind of forcing, so that's kind of the coarsest way. Just saying no, I'm not going to do that, but then, so with effort, maybe somehow related, morality and effort. But effort can also refer to the effort in meditation. So if you work hard in like samatha meditation, I think it's effort, I'm actually, can't quite remember. Virya Sangvara, I think. With knowledge. No, it's not knowledge. Jnana Sangvara. So it's not Panya, it's not the fifth one. There's five of them. Can't remember them all. Should know them. With mindfulness is probably the most important. So not exactly forcing yourself, but straightening your mind. So when the mind experiences something, see it clearly. When you feel pain and you say to yourself, pain, pain, you're restraining yourself in the sense of you're diverting your attention not to the reactions, you know, what the mind thinks of it, but by fixing on the actual experience itself. So that restrains the mind in the sense that it keeps the mind from getting upset about the pain or attached to things, enjoyable things and so on. Sabbe, where is sabbe? Sabbe, kusala, sabba papasa karanam kusala supi sampada. It's not sabbe, sabba. Sabba is for the first line, I don't understand. Sabba papasa karanam. I mean, it's in contrast with papa. Papa means evil. So kusala is any good. Upasampada could imply all, you know, be full, do all kinds of good. He said, ma bhikkhave bahita punya nang, don't be afraid of punya, which is kusala. During walking meditation, sometimes we hear some joints making popping sounds out of nowhere. Why does that hearing arise? I don't have any take on that. That's the body. You have to talk to someone who knows stuff about bones. I believe it's gas releasing in the body. You're thinking philosophically, why does that, what is the karma that leads to that? This is very complicated. It's the karma of being a human. We've put together this very complex being that has lots of complex things happen to it, including our joints popping. It's just part of being human. And perhaps we're going to have to close that window when we record. No, it's okay, next time. It's unfortunate because it's so hot up here. Why does the mind go to the ear? Well, the mind is not focused. The mind is, it's the nature of the mind. When there's an experience, it is drawn to the experience. Technically, in by Abhidhamma, it's all cause and effect. So there's, it's resultant. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, thinking, they are the results of karma, they're related to things that happened in the past. Buddhism, we're not so concerned about why it's happening, we're concerned about what is happening, the nature of what is happening. Because it's not, who cares why, if it is happening, that's the issue. And of course the popping isn't the problem, but the issue is how you react to it. That's what's really important. It's important that we learn how we react to these things. Does it frustrate you? Do you feel curious? Do you wonder why you're the popping? Well, that wondering, that's what we want to learn about. Is that good? Is that bad? Is that problematic? Is that the best way to use my mental attention, my mental power? That's what we're focused on. That's what's important. The why isn't such a big deal. Okay. No more questions, then good night, everyone. See you next time.